In a world full of bizarre events, unsolved mysteries, and a billion stories from all corners of the globe, some news gets lost in the shuffle. This is your gateway to the stories on the fringe of the mainstream map. These are your dispatches in the dark. I'm Ben Bolin, and this is the Strange News Daily. Our first story today. It's April 1st, and the world has agreed that April Fool's Day is canceled. The internet giant Google weighed in on this cancellation, noting it will not create any hoax products or any hoax announcements today. This marks the first time Google has done so since the tradition began in 2000. Google usually releases numerous April Fool's jokes each year. They're all intended as these lighthearted stunts that give you a chuckle when you're online. In fact, many of the jokes are actually released to the public, and you know, you get to play around with the update for a day or so. And it seems the famously divisive online community has finally agreed on something after all. They're siding with Google to cancel April Fool's. The coronavirus is no joke, and this is not the time to spread misinformation, regardless of how well-intentioned such pranks might be. In a memo published by Business Insider, Google's head of marketing, Lorraine Tuhill, urged managers to ensure that specific teams were not working on their own smaller projects that might be launched without the knowledge of the higher-ups at Google. Tuhill stated, "Our highest goal right now is to be helpful to people. So let's save the jokes for next April, which will undoubtedly be a whole lot brighter than this one." Now, Google is not the first tech company to call for a stop to April Fool's jokes. Microsoft also decided to pause the jokes last year when their head of marketing said the jokes often weren't actually funny, their positive impact was pretty limited, and they ran the danger of perpetuating, quote, unwanted news cycles. This led Microsoft to conclude there's more to lose than there is to gain in these endeavors. Other businesses agree. Both Heinz and Lego have confirmed they will not participate in April Fool's Day, at least this year. And some governments have joined in as well. In India, local authorities warned citizens against spreading rumors as April Fool's Day jokes. The Home Minister, Anil Deshmukh of the Indian state Maharashtra, noted, "Every year on April 1st, people do pranks with friends and relatives. However, this year they should avoid it. Maharashtra and India are fighting a battle against coronavirus. Fake messages and rumors in the name of April Fools will create a panic situation in the community, and therefore it should not be done. If someone is found spreading such messages, police will take action against the person under the Cybercrime Act. I appeal to people," says the Home Minister, "to please cooperate in this situation." The problem is pretty simple. Even the most benign COVID-19-related prank could spread like wildfire, and people's lives are literally on the line. Misleading information about the outbreak has, after all, already led to fatalities, with people in both Turkey and Iran passing away after drinking pure industrial alcohol in an attempt to cure the infection. Now, personally, I've always disliked April Fool's Day, especially after my pal Josh Clark talked me into participating in an infamous and terrible prank episode of Stuff You Should Know. So, apologies again to everyone for that one. Here's to staying safe and well-informed. Our second story today. Have scientists discovered a South American Yeti? Well, here's the thing. Not really. However, paleontologists from Argentina and Ecuador have inspired cryptozoologists across the planet with a recent announcement. They've discovered evidence of a new giant sloth, one that may actually have met early humans. What's more, the researchers also found loads of skulls and bones, allowing them to assemble a full skeleton of this extinct, gigantic mammal. Dr. Luciano Brembia, a researcher at the Center for Interdisciplinary Studies at the University of Rosario, Argentina, announced the recent discovery of numerous skulls across central and northern Ecuador, along with the bones. Dr. Brembia notes the species, known as the Oreomylodon wagneri, or mountain mylodon, has several distinct features differentiating it from other species of sloths. Dr. Brembia says, quote, "Its wide snout was adapted so that this animal can withstand low temperatures in mountain climates." Low temperatures. Nowadays, that sounds weird in parts of South America, but this was not always the case. See, back when this gentle giant was alive and kicking around 10,000 years ago, this region of South America was predominantly grassland. The temperature was also 6 or 7 degrees colder, and the ecosystem had glacial lagoons. Paleontologists go into detail about how the creature's unusual snout may have helped it survive the cold. To withstand low temperatures, researchers say, these animals have developed a wider snout than the other species of giant sloths known so far. This snout allowed them to moisten the dry air as they inhaled and protect humidity by exhaling the air. And Oreomylodon wagneri may have also had a hyper-developed sense of super smell. This could affect the interaction between males and females, as well as helping them mark one another's territories. The sloth additionally had giant monster claws on its back and front legs. Unlike other sloths, this creature appeared to live in herds. This discovery triggered wild speculation in cryptid circles, with observers wondering whether ancient run-ins with this creature could have inspired later stories of Yeti-esque encounters in myth and legend. One thing's for sure, if the mountain mylodon did meet ancient humans, it towered over them. The creature could exceed 2 meters in height when standing on its hind legs, and on all fours it was the size of a small car. Scary stuff to run into in the wild, right? Sadly, if human sloth encounters did occur, they probably weren't pretty. Researchers have already postulated that human hunting, along with climate change, probably drove the creatures to extinction. So, if you happen to run into your local Bigfoot, be kind. Our last story for today. NASA saved a Mars mission with a shovel. Have you ever been so frustrated with a gadget that you end up smacking it, just sort of hoping jiggling it might fix the problem? Well, it may not sound like the most intellectual of solutions, but it's a tried and true technique, and it's one NASA is using now. You see, over on Mars, every single day, the NASA InSight lander sends back information to us on Earth, and it's proving that the red planet isn't really dead. Mars has quakes, just like earthquakes, except we call them Marsquakes. These Marsquakes ping on a seismometer. There's also an onboard pressure sensor, and of course there are temperature sensors that help track the weather and changing of the seasons on this planet. The lander is a success. Well, mostly. You see, there's one instrument, one gauge that has met with resistance from the Martian environment. Something has stopped InSight's 15-inch digging probe, known as the mole for, you know, its job. It burrows into the soil. The mole is a measurement probe for InSight's heat flow and physical properties package, or HP3. It's meant to track the temperature variations on Mars itself. This heat comes from the core of the planet, and like Earth's core, Mars's core remains warm from the planet's birth. By measuring this, researchers are hoping that we can learn about the formation of Mars. The only problem is the mole is having difficulty digging into the soil. From its current position, scientists can only get readings of the surface temperature. So, instead of diving into the Martian sand where it could take the actual planet's temperature, it's just sort of half in, half out. It's stuck, half buried there on Mars. An intercontinental team of experts has spent a year devising increasingly unorthodox plans to get this mole digging again. And recently, they finally hit on something that just might work. They're smacking it with a shovel. According to Tillman Spahn, the HP3's principal investigator, he and his colleagues have had to improvise using the only tool on hand, a small shovel-like scoop that's on the end of InSight's robotic arm. Over the past year, they've tried to punch down the walls of the hole around this mole device. They've also tried to fill the hole in with sand. And now, they're attempting to give the mole a little bit more traction by pinning it against the side of the hole with this scoop, by poking it with the shovel. So far, the move seems to be working. While they're pressing down with the arm, the operators instruct the mole to dig for 25 strokes. And that's enough to make it sink down a couple of inches under ideal conditions. Early images suggest the mole has dug maybe half an inch so far, but mission planners are at the edge of their seats waiting for more information before they declare this instrument saved. Spawn's team expects to learn more about the mole's position and its ultimate fate over the next few weeks. If that doesn't help, says Spawn, then I guess we'll have to conclude that probably there's a stone down there somewhere in the dirt. We imagine, of course, that the team has already tried turning the mole off and on again. That's all for now. We've been asking you to chime in with suggestions for stories you think your fellow listeners should know about, your bad puns or terrible dad jokes, or your personal experience with COVID-19. Let us know by tagging Strange Daily on Twitter. We look forward to hearing from you. While you're online, you can also follow me directly at Ben Bolin HSW on Twitter or at Ben Bolin on Instagram. Thanks as always to our producer, Dylan Fagan, our research associate, Sam Teagarden, and thanks to you. I'm Ben Bolin. We'll see you tomorrow. And until then, stay strange.